Before you get too comfortable in that chair, make sure you have a book of Hannon's 60 exercises. If you do not have this book with you, turn off the tape and get it now. This is an exciting moment in your piano study. You get to begin the Hannon exercises. Before we discuss the exercises, let me explain two schools of thought concerning technical exercises. The first school of thought is the Czerny school. Czerny was a student of Beethoven. Beethoven treated him almost like a son. After studying with Beethoven, Czerny went to Clementi and studied for a long time with Clementi. Czerny was a very, very good pianist. But he decided to retire from concertizing so that he could teach more and also compose. Almost all of his compositions are forgotten now, except for a large collection of technical exercises which are still studied today. Many of the beginning and early virtuoso pianists had no teacher to teach them how to become a virtuoso pianist. They were the ones who even created the virtuoso style with arpeggios and fast scales and exciting octaves and first inversion and second inversion triads marching up and down the keyboard at great speed. They had to learn how to do that. They had to learn how they did it so they could teach it to other people. And many pianists like Czerny and Clementi and Kalkbrenner and Thalberg and Steibelt gave up their performing career so they could learn how to teach these techniques to others. Czerny was one of those, and many of these pianists came up with a lot of different exercises, but we will use Czerny as the one who represents them all. Czerny composed a collection of piano pieces with the purpose of developing a solid technique in the student pianist. Each of his pieces worked on a specific problem of technique. For example, one piece might work on developing your ability to play parallel thirds. Another might work on the trill. Another might work on octaves, or staccatos, or phrasing, or strengthening your fourth and fifth finger, or any number of things. The advantages to studying Czerny is that you have new and interesting pieces to study as the weeks progress. This makes the technique portion of your study a little more tolerable. The disadvantages are you have to spend a lot of time learning the new pieces before you can even begin to work on the technique. The Hannon approach is different in that you have 60 exercises that you learn slowly, gradually increasing their speed. Each exercise works on a different technical problem with a promise that if you learn all 60 exercises, you will be able to play anything written for the piano. The advantage of Hannon is that you don't have to keep learning new pieces to work on your technique. The disadvantage is that it can become very tedious, boring, playing the same exercises over and over and over and over. However, the results are so great, it makes the initial boredom turn into freedom. It is well worth the effort. Also, I think you will find the better you get at Hannon exercises, the more enjoyable it is to practice them, even to the point where it will be tempting to practice Hannon too much, if you can believe that. It is exhilarating to play your scales, octaves, and arpeggios at astonishing speeds. But you know, technique is not the end of piano playing. We can play technique forever, but the thing is, we want to get rid of it as fast as we can, develop our technique as fast as we can to get to beautiful pieces. That is what Hannon, in combination with your teacher, will do for you. It will enable you to play things in a virtuosic manner. You will be a virtuoso pianist. Now, what is a virtuoso? Virtuoso comes from the word virtuous. Virtuous comes from the word virtue. Virtue means faithful, truthful, good. The word virgin comes from virtuous or virtue. And so if you are a virtuous or a virtuoso pianist, that means you are pure good. You are pure truth. You are pure beauty. There is no bad in you. You are the best you can possibly be. You are an astonishing pianist, capable of doing anything. So the virtuoso pianist is what this aim is, the aim of the Hannon exercises. As you begin playing the Hannon exercises, you must be patient. This is a technical journey. Learn fast, but learn well. You are working with muscles, and as any weightlifter will tell you, it's not the amount of weights that you lift that is most important, as it is the form in which you lift them that is important. There are many different types of techniques. Your teacher will teach you a certain technique with the Hannon exercises. Some teachers teach a rounded hand position. Others teach to have a straight-fingered hand position. Others teach to have a high wrist. Others a low wrist. It isn't so important which technique you use. What's most important is that you develop one standard technique from which to vary and learn others. It is important, as I said, that you are patient as you begin this journey and not try and learn everything so fast, so quickly. It's more important that you learn well and learn the form, learn the technique that your teacher tries to teach you. I remember when I first started to learn the exercises, both Czerny and Hannon, I was so anxious to play them fast and play them well, I would try and get them fast immediately. Consequently, I would have to learn them over again. I started out learning Hannon. I must have learned it about 6 different times before I finally got it right. I kept trying to play it so fast that my teacher would say, "Well, it's great, it's fast, but you're doing it wrong. Now let's start slow again and learn it the right way." You think I would have learned after the first time going back, but some of us take a little bit longer than others to learn things. Now open your Hannon book to the title page and read along. It says, C.L. Hannon, the Virtuoso Pianist, in 60 Exercises for the Piano. For the acquirement of agility, independence, strength, and perfect evenness in the fingers, as well as suppleness of the wrist. Your teacher will help you with all of that. Now please turn the page. You're going to turn the page to the preface. Now I remember I used to always skip the preface. I used to think, this isn't a part of the book, and I'd always go straight to the storyline and begin reading. But then I had a class in which the teacher made me read the preface. After I read the preface, I thought, what have I been doing all these years not reading the preface? The preface is the author's opportunity to tell you what you should get. So if after finishing the book, you get to the end, you know that you got what he intended you to get. Now, remember as the preface is read, that this work was written in the late 1800s. It was the style to exaggerate a little. Well, maybe a lot. However, I think it's important that you become familiar with this teacher's aims. Please read along with me. Now, you might have a different translation. It was originally written in French, and different editions use different translations, but it'll be pretty close. So if I don't say a word that you have down in your edition, don't sweat it out, you know, just follow along and keep reading. Preface. The study of the piano is nowadays so general, and good pianists are so numerous, that mediocrity on this instrument is no longer endured. In consequence, one must study the piano 8 or 10 years before venturing to perform a piece of any difficulty, even at a gathering of amateurs. Now, how few persons are in a position to devote so many years to this study? It often happens, therefore, that for want of sufficient practice, the playing is uneven and incorrect. The left hand gives out in passages of slight difficulty. The fourth and fifth fingers are almost useless for lack of special exercises for these fingers, which are always weaker than the rest. And when passages in octaves, in tremolo or trills occur, They are usually executed only by dint of exertion and fatigue, so that the performance is very incorrect and wholly wanting in expression. For several years, we have labored to overcome this state of affairs, making it our aim to unite in one work special exercises which render possible a complete course of pianistic study in far less time. To attain this end, it sufficed to find the solution of the following problem. If all five fingers of the hand were absolutely equally well trained, they would be ready to execute anything written for the instrument. And the only question remaining would be that of fingering, which could be readily solved. We have found the solution of this problem in our work, The Virtuoso Pianist in 60 Exercises. In this volume will be found the exercises necessary for the acquirement of agility, independence, strength, and a perfect evenness in the fingers, as well as suppleness of the wrists, all indispensable qualities for fine execution. Furthermore, these exercises are calculated to render the left hand equally skillful with the right. Excepting a few exercises to be found in several methods, the entire book is our personal work. These exercises are interesting and do not fatigue the student like the generality of five-finger exercises, which are so dry that one requires the perseverance of a true artist to summon up courage to study them. These exercises are written in such a manner that, after having read them a few times, they can be played in quite a rapid movement. They thus become excellent practice for the fingers, and one loses no time in studying them and obtaining a good technique. If desired, any of these exercises may be played on several pianos simultaneously, rousing a spirit of emulation among the students and habituating them to ensemble playing. All descriptions of difficulties will be met with. The exercises are so arranged that in each successive number the fingers are rested from the fatigue caused by the one preceding. The result of this combination is that all mechanical difficulties are executed without effort or weariness, and after such practice, the fingers attain to astonishing facility of execution. This work is intended for all piano pupils. It may be taken up after the pupil has studied about a year. As for more advanced students, they will study it in a very short time and will therefore never experience the stiffness which may have been previously felt in fingers or wrists. This will render them capable of surmounting the principal mechanical difficulties. Now, if we can stop reading here for a second, and if I might give you an opinion concerning what he's just said. Just like he said, it may be taken up after the pupil has studied about a year. But if the student does start after he studied only a year, it is generally the case he spends so much time trying to learn the exercises that it would be a lot easier to just wait a couple of years till he's an intermediate pianist before he began learning them. He'll learn them lots faster. He will not be spending so much time learning them so that he is so bored with them by the time he's reached a point that he can play them well, that they will have some use and he will continue on with the study of all 60 exercises. Let's continue on. Pianists and teachers who cannot find time for sufficient practice to keep up their playing need only to play these exercises a few hours in order to regain all the dexterity of their fingers. This entire volume can be played through in an hour. And if, after it has been thoroughly mastered, it be repeated daily for a time, difficulties will disappear as if by enchantment, and that beautiful, clear, clean, purling execution will have been acquired, which is the secret of distinguished artists. Finally, we offer this work as giving the key to all mechanical difficulties. We therefore consider that we are rendering a real service to young pianists, to teachers, and to the teachers of boarding schools in proposing their adoption of our work, The Virtuoso Pianist. Did you hear any exaggeration in there? I did. The part about not being boring. These exercises will not get boring. I remember I used to get so bored as a student that I would get a book And instead of watching the Hannon exercises in music, because I had them memorized, I'd played them so much, I would open a book and I would read the book while practicing my Hannon exercises. I got a lot of reading then, but I also learned that you had to concentrate on what you were doing, or else your technique got worse instead of better. Now think for a second. After having read this preface now, what is the purpose of this work? Why did the author write this work? That's right. He said if all five fingers of the hand were absolutely equally well trained, they would be ready to execute anything written for the instrument, and the only question remaining would be that of fingering, which could be readily solved, that of fingering and reading the notes. Now turn to exercise number one. We are going to spend the next few minutes overviewing this whole work so that you can see where we are going to end up. It's always good practice to see the end from the beginning, and in that way you will find your progress on these pieces increased. After we do a brief overview of what you'll be learning with this volume, we will spend just a couple minutes giving you a few suggestions of how to learn the exercises easily and more quickly. Now, do you have exercise number one? Above exercise number one, Hannon has written The Virtuoso Pianist, Part One. As you recall, this work is written in three different parts. And then he states the objective for the first part, which is preparatory exercises for the acquirement of agility, which is playing so that your fingers don't feel stiff. They feel very loose and very free, and they're very fast. Independence, which means your fingers can operate without, like when you play your fourth finger, a trill with your fourth and fifth finger, doesn't mean the whole hand, your third finger is going to go waving up and down. Or when you play with your second and third finger, your fifth finger doesn't stick way up in the air like you're drinking tea. Then he says strength and perfect evenness in the fingers. Now, perfect evenness in the fingers is impossible to develop. Take a look at your hand. Look at it. Are any of your fingers the same size as any other? No, they aren't. And they're in different parts of your hand, too. Look at the thumb stuck way off to the side there. It's kind of short and stubby. And the fourth and fifth finger have tendons that cross each other. So that's why they are so weak. And Schumann found that out. He ruined his fourth and fifth finger trying to get them stronger than they could possibly be. They will never be as strong as your second and third finger. It's just the way they're made. But we can help them become stronger so that they can do the job that they're supposed to do. It is important that you read everything that Hannon has written. If you don't know the destination before you begin your journey, how will you know when you've arrived? And it's the same thing. Look above exercise 2 and also below exercise 2. He's given you some goals, some things that you should achieve as you study these things. And if you've never read them, then you won't know what you're working for. So make sure you read everything that he has written above each exercise. Notice also that there is a metronome marking for each exercise, a suggested metronome marking. That doesn't mean you have to stop at 108. If you want to go faster than 108, you can. But it is important that you use the metronome as you practice. I cannot stress that enough. It is so important that you use the metronome. Let me tell you why. The reason why you use the metronome is, if you don't use it, you're going to find that the easy exercises, you're going to do faster. And the hard exercises, you're going to do slower. And so what will happen is you will strengthen your strong fingers and while your weak fingers get weaker, because you're playing the easy exercises faster. So the ones that are your fingers that are already strong are going to get stronger. So instead of getting an evenness in your fingers, you will get a greater and greater disparity between your fingers. So make sure that you practice with the metronome, or else there will be no perfect evenness in the fingers, not even close. Now turn to exercise 20. At the end of exercise 20, and this is the last of the exercises in this first section, read with me down at the bottom. It says, End Part 1. After having mastered this first part, Play it through once or twice daily for some time before commencing the study of the second, transcendent part. Transcendent means it's going to take you even further than where you are. Okay. By so doing, one is sure to obtain every possible advantage that this work promises. Complete mastery of Part 1 gives the key to the difficulties found in Part 2. So make sure that you play through all 20 exercises straight through at 108 on the metronome before you move on. Now, listen for a second while I give you an example of what the first 20 exercises sound like. I will play the last exercise, exercise 20, for you. Hannon really lubricates your fingers, so you're able to play very fast. Now, please turn to exercise 21. This is the Virtuoso Pianist Part 2. These are the transcendent exercises for preparing the fingers for the virtuoso exercises, found in Section 3. So these are intermediate exercises. Notice 21 looks like 1 through 20 that you've just studied. 21 is very similar to the first 20 exercises, except it's twice as long. And instead of having two beats in each measure, now they have four beats. He really exercises and does a lot to strengthen your fourth and fifth finger and develop your fingers for the trill. Now turn to exercise 39, please. Exercise 39 is your scales. Here you have the 12 major scales and the 12 minor scales, and each major scale is followed by its relative minor. Notice, once again, he gives you an objective. Make sure you read the objective before you study anything so that you know when you've arrived. Now, you have probably already learned your scales at maybe one octave or two octaves, and now you're going to learn them four octaves. You will also learn all of your arpeggios in this section at four octaves. Let me play a few of these scales so that you can see what you're going to be aiming for and how you will sound after studying this volume. Parts 1 and 2 of this work are the keys to the difficulties found in Part 3. Please turn to exercise 44. It is very important that you thoroughly master everything in Part 1 and 2 before you begin the virtuoso studies contained in Part 3. There are no more beginning studies in Part 3, no more intermediate studies. Now you will play the virtuoso exercises that will give you a mastery over the greatest mechanical difficulties. And he begins with playing repeated notes in groups of three. Now turn to exercise 46. Here we see in section 3 is an exercise for the trill. You do a lot of trilling. At the end is a fingering that Mozart used for his trill, which is very good. And then we have, on exercise 47, repeated notes in groups of four. Exercise 48, you begin preparing your wrist for octave studies. He begins you with just repeated notes in thirds, and then you start doing the thirds in octaves. The problem with octaves is you stretch, which stretches the tendons and makes it more difficult to study the octaves right out, octaves first. And so that's why he has you learn the wrist technique and the technique of octave playing with thirds first. Then as you turn the page or go to the next part of the exercise, he has you doing it in sixths. Then he has you do a stretching exercise, which stretches the tendons and the muscles a little bit and gets them ready for octave studies. Now turn to exercise 50. Here we have the beginning of exercises in thirds so that we can play our scales in thirds. They sound just like your other scales, except now you play four notes at the same time instead of just two. You're playing with both hands. And then exercise 51, we have a preparatory exercise for scales in octaves, and the exercises just go on and on and on, preparing you for some wonderful, wonderful opportunities to play some wonderful, wonderful pieces by Liszt and Chopin and the greatest and most difficult pieces ever written. Now please turn to the very last exercise, exercise 60. Here at the top of the page, he says, in so many words, congratulations, look at all the black that's there. Now you've arrived, you can play anything. And it looks very difficult, doesn't it, with all that black. Here we have, he says at the top, to properly execute the tremolo, it should be played with the same rapidity as the roll on the drum. And so that's kind of brump, 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 bump, bump, that same type of rapidity. There aren't a whole lot of pieces that use this tremolo anymore. As it says here, Steibelt was very, very good, and a lot of these pianists right around the turn of the century, around the year 1800, as they were trying to establish themselves as the greatest artists, they would pick out one technique that made them very, very good, and everyone would say, wow, that's astonishing. With Clementi, it was his astonishing scales in thirds. With Steibelt, it was his tremolo. And with others, it was different things. And so here we have the tremolo. Just for fun, let me play this for you. So, that's the overview of what Hannon can do for you. It can give you very quick fingers and a very good technique. Remember, he promises that once you've learned all 60 exercises, there won't be anything that you will not be able to play. Now I promised you some helps for learning Hannon more rapidly. I will give you three. Number one, it is important, and I've said this before, to do exactly what your teacher tells you to do. There are little tricks to a lot of the exercises that he or she will teach you that will enable you to perform them faster and better. Technique is not the study of notes. That's easy to learn the notes. But technique is the study of how to play the notes. Your teacher knows how. Listen to her carefully. Number two, always use the metronome. I would suggest learning all 60 exercises at the tempo Hannon suggests. Then if you want to go back and increase the tempos, you can. I would even recommend it. Number three, the first 30 exercises will be learned more rapidly if you study them in rhythms. This is an old trick used by many great pianists and organists over the years. I will quickly give you six. You can write them down. The first rhythm is slow fast. It sounds like this. The second rhythm is its opposite. It goes fast-slow. The third, we stop on one before we play the other four notes in the beat. The next is its opposite. You stop on four. Then try it staccato. The last is legato. You can come up with your own rhythms. There are about 32 of them that I have seen. I wish you great success in your study of this volume. The rewards of its mastery is well worth the effort. Good luck.